Today we're going to continue in our study through the book of Acts, and we're going to pick up at Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, and we're going to take a look at verses 6 through 18. So in this section of scripture, we're going to seek to understand how do you choose a good leader. And many countries have political cycles where they elect their leadership, and they're given the privilege of being able to elect those who represent them. And America is no different, but when we look at it from a biblical perspective, we have to be very, very discerning of who we choose to be our leader. One of the things that is certainly true is that when people feel that they are not being represented properly, or there's nobody to voice their concerns, then they are more than willing to follow whoever it is that will do just that for them, someone who will listen to them and address their concerns. And they don't care, in many cases, whether it's Jesus Christ or Adolf Hitler. They will choose whoever it is that speaks to them. And so in this case, we're going to look at Scripture to see how do we discern when somebody speaks to us, whether or not that's something that we should follow or support, and which kind of speaks a little bit to the idea of separation as Christians from the world. Not necessarily that we don't participate in anything in the world, but in fact that we evaluate whether or not the things of the world are things of God. And this is a section of Scripture that really illustrates this point. Now, we just talked about whether it is okay for pastors or ministers to be rich, and we looked at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, as well as many other passages. So we saw that Paul had taken on a disciple named Timothy. Timothy was circumcised, not because of the law, but because they were ministering to Jews. And then they started going out throughout the cities, planting churches is what they were establishing churches in the faith and increased in number daily, as we saw in Acts chapter 16, verse 5. Now we're going to look at this second missionary journey with Paul, and it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now if you remember right, in Acts chapter 15, we saw that there was some dissension between Paul and Barnabas. And Paul then decided to take Silas and leave. And of course, he went and picked up Timothy, and Timothy went with them. And so that's why we now see it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Some people have asked, well, why were they forbidden to preach the word in Asia? Well, we find out at other points of history that there were other apostles that went into those areas. So the Lord determined that it was important that Paul focus on a specific area. And if you look at you can look at maps of his missionary journeys, you see it was primarily concentrated around the Mediterranean Sea area, which influences what we now know as Europe, the western part of Asia, and Africa. And so they went ahead and left. And it says in verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Spirit did not allow them to go there. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, if you take a look at a map of the Mediterranean Sea area, what you will find is that Macedonia was along the northern coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. In fact, more specifically, you will see Macedonia is a region that is what we consider to be the northern area of Greece today. And you have the Aegean Sea on the east side and the Ionian Sea on the west side, which is a northern part of the Mediterranean, which kind of goes up into the west coast of Italy. But Macedonia is really an area that just kind of is like an umbrella over what we know today as Greece. And so Paul received a vision in the night and to go to Macedonia. And so it says in verse 10, and after he had the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, that's an important thing here. We have to realize that at this point in Scripture, which is sometime around 52, 53 A.D., the Word of God was not completed. And so we find that the apostles had a special dispensation of grace, if you would, had a special gift, according to God, to be able to do certain things. And we're going to see that a little bit more as we continue in the book of Acts. So what we have to remember is that Luke is the one who wrote this, and we saw that all the way back in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So Luke was accompanying them on this trip. So when we read there in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, this is very interesting because in today, in society, there are many people who claim that God is able to give us special dreams and visions that were common during the days before the New Testament was completed. And in fact, if you look at a commentary such as Matthew Henry or those that are before that time period, you will see that it was very clear that as those spiritual gifts had passed, God was not in the business of speaking to people directly and telling them or directing them to do certain things. And there are people today that swear to God that God told them to do something. And I can tell you that 95% of the people who tell me that God told them to do something or God revealed to them or gave them a word of knowledge, I find that 95% of them who tell me this stuff, when we talk about what it is that God allegedly said to them, you find out that it is so counter to Scripture that it is unbelievable that anyone would believe it, but yet most people are biblically illiterate, so they don't know any better. The understanding that we have to have, though, is remember back in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus himself said, and when he was speaking about good tree producing good fruit and evil tree producing evil fruit, Jesus himself said in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven means that they trust Christ as their Savior. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Prophesied means that God has communicated to you a special revelation that you are communicating to others. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so what Jesus was saying there is there are going to be some people in the end times, and I believe we're living in those times, they're going to say that they have these special powers and prophetic abilities by God. Well, if God is still giving people prophetic abilities, then the Word of God is not complete. Then there should be books after the book of Revelation, which was completed around 96 A.D. But yet, even if you look at the commentaries from the Apostolic Fathers even until the late 1700s, you see that those gifts had disappeared. Why? Because God has given us everything that we need in His completed Word. Too often what happens today is people are looking for some sort of sign or special knowledge outside the Scriptures to confirm to them what they think that they should be doing. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was given this vision, we see that in verse 10, that those that were with him, they gathered, in other words, that meant that they came together, they considered the matter to determine whether or not this was of the Lord's will. Today, we have anybody and everybody who decides they just want to walk up to you and make a proclamation that they're a prophet. Suddenly people will listen to everything that they say as if it's from the mouth of God. And whenever I have people that make that kind of claim to me and I get to the point where I can talk to them, I basically will ask them, so what you're telling me is God told you this directly. And when they say yes, then I will say, well, how is that any different than what God told the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or Matthew or Isaiah or Jeremiah? So what you're saying is the words that are coming out of your mouth are infallible. In other words, they're not able to be wrong because they're from the mouth of God. That is blasphemy according to the Word of God. We have the completed Word of God, but yet today, Christians seek their own version of truth outside the Word of God. And even the Apostle Paul and those that were with him, when they understood that he had a vision, they had a discussion about it. They were discerning about it. They wanted to make sure that this was really something that was of God, or was it that maybe Paul had too many onions in whatever he ate that night? Too many people today don't want to listen to what God says in His Word. Instead, it's almost like God has given us His Word, and people say, well, I want it for myself. I'm not going to believe it until I hear it from God's mouth. Well, unfortunately, if you're going to wait to hear it from God's mouth, it's not going to be very pretty what you have to go through in your life. You will be easily deceived. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we can't know them, according to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. So what happens here? They got together, they talked about what Paul had seen, and then they determined that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel. Now think about this for a moment. If the Holy Ghost forbade them to preach the word in Asia, there was some discernment there too. Why is it that they didn't just say, well, you know, we believe that we've been called to go to Asia, and we're going to just ignore what we're hearing here? Too often today, that's what many Christians do. They say, well, I've been called to do this, or I've been called to do that. You know, the Word of God says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, which means that if God has truly called you to something, He does not change His mind. Now, there are times that I have seen where people have been called to certain things, and yet God has called them later to do something else, but either A, He has determined that what they were doing at that point was no longer needed, or B, He raised up somebody to replace him. We see that with Timothy here, where Paul trained up Timothy, and Timothy took over the ministry duties, as we'll see later. So they determined that God had called them to preach the gospel. In verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, and loosing means that they took loose the ropes that were holding the boat to the dock. Loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course unto Samothracia. So Samothracia, and the next day unto Neapolis. And from thence or there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, we think of Philippi, that's where the book of Philippians came from. It was the church in Philippi. So they were there in certain days, and it says in verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. In other words, there were prayer there, people there wanting to pray, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, the women who lived there. So Paul and his entourage go down to this river, and they see these women there praying. And he goes down and talks to them. And it says in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Constrained us meant that she insisted that they come live in her household. You see, Paul and his entourage didn't have a hotel room that they could go to. The boat wasn't exactly the best place to sleep. And so this woman who just got saved, who just got baptized, if you would, she said, "Why don't you come stay at my place? I have plenty of room." You know, it's interesting today that many people would be quick to jump on somebody today that would say something like that. "Well, you don't know who it is that you're allowing to stay in your house. Or you're a woman. How could you possibly allow a group of men to stay in your household?" I'm sure we don't have any account of this woman deciding that her and Paul and all these other guys are going to sleep in the same room. She made accommodations for them. She insisted that they do this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led her to do these things. I want to point out something as we go into verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass as we went into prayer, a certain damsel," or a young lady, "possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." She was somebody who was a fortune teller. Now that word of divination, literally if you look at it in the original language, means of Python. It's a demonic type activity is what we're seeing here. And it says, "And the same followed Paul and us cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said in the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her." Now, so what do we have here? We have this lady who has a spirit of divination, who is literally professing who Paul and his entourage are, and yet Paul was disturbed. Why? Because the spirit of divination was a person who was speaking through her. Even though she was speaking the truth, Paul did not like the source of who was giving her the truth. There's some discernment that takes place there. Take a look for a moment in Galatians chapter 5. When it comes to being led or having a leader, we have to understand that it's more important to understand more about that leader than what they just say, but also what they believe and what they do. Notice if you look at Galatians chapter 5, in verse 13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor even as thyself." Now, it's important to understand here, it says, "but by love serve one another." This woman, under the influence or the leading of a spirit of divination, was saying good things. But it was her motivation for saying those things that is what comes into account here. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, and we know that as the love chapter, that you can do all these wonderful things, but if they are not motivated out of charity, as the King James uses, or agape or unconditional love that only comes from the Holy Spirit, they're worthless. So what was happening here is Paul was noticing her good works, just like the Lord talked about people in Matthew chapter 7 are going to claim that they did these good works, but they never knew the Lord. So this woman was doing these good works by proclaiming who Paul and his entourage were, but at the same time, she was not doing them out of the leading of the Spirit. Take a look then as we go on in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another." Now, verse 16 is very important. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now there's a leading that takes place here. Many people are great leaders. We can look back to some of the founders in America that have proved themselves to be great leaders. You can also look at some of the greatest tyrants throughout history, and they were great leaders. And people would say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're saying they're great leaders. But when you look at a leader has the ability to get people to follow them. And the question is, what is the motivation for following them? You know, I said a little bit earlier that when people are not heard by their leaders, when people are not properly represented, when people feel that they're being aggrieved and nobody listens to them, they will follow whomever proclaims to be their leader that proclaims to care about what they care about. And it doesn't matter in many cases if it's Jesus Christ or Adolf Hitler. Many people will choose Adolf Hitler because he spoke the right words at the right time to people that needed to hear them. Interestingly enough, today, as people will say, well, Adolf Hitler was a terrible leader. No, he was an excellent leader. His motives were wrong, but the way he motivated people with the things that he said is what he used as a deception, just like Satan uses deception to make you think that what he's telling you is good. That's why today we have so many Christians who live a lifestyle that is just like people who don't even believe that the Bible is true. We have so many Christians who don't have an understanding what the Bible even teaches. We have so many Christians that when you talk to them about the Bible and mention a certain Bible book, they can't even find it without looking at the table of contents. You see, they are deceived by people who consider themselves to be good people, but in the end, when you really look underneath the surface, you find out that their motivations are not of God. Just like this woman whose motivations to praise these men and say that they are God's people or they were sent by God, just like this woman did that, she did not do that out of the leading of the Spirit. She did it out of the deception of an unholy spirit. She was the soothsayer. And Paul determined that. He discerned that her motivation was not of the Holy Spirit. Her motivation was of Satan. It's interesting, and we're going to talk about this in our next message, but you find out that when he delivers her of that demonic spirit, people get upset. How could you do this? We'll talk more about that in our next message, but as we go back to Galatians 5, when it says in verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, you cannot be led of the Spirit unless you have the Holy Spirit in you. I know I've given the example before that one time I took some students in the church and we talked about this very idea of being led of the Spirit. And what I did is I took one of the boys to the back of the auditorium and I put a blindfold on him. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk up to the front of the church and come and stand in front of the podium, but you can't touch anything. And so as he was blindfolded and he started walking, he'd bump into the pews and the chairs and everything else. And finally he managed to touch his way all the way down to the pulpit. And so the thing that I pointed out was that in life, when we don't have something that opens our blindness to the reality of God's truth, that we are destined to run into things. And the Bible calls that sin because we make choices based on what we think and feel are right, even when we can't see. Then what I did is I took that boy to the back of the auditorium again and I blindfolded him again, only this time I had a girl in front of him. And I told him, I said, follow the voice and the leading and the teaching of this girl and see how you do this time. So what she did is as he started walking blindfolded towards the front of the church, whenever he started heading towards the pews or towards the chairs, she said, oh, stop, turn a little bit to your left and keep going, stop, wait a minute, turn a little bit to your right. And she guided him all the way down and he didn't touch any of those things. Why? Because he was listening to that voice that was leading him. The question is, which voice are you being led by? And when you answer that question, then it will give you the discernment to choose who your leaders are. When it says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, It says now the works of the flesh. In other words, if you're being led of the flesh, you're being led of the devil, you're being led of the spirit of the discernment, you're being spirit that this woman had in her that was a prophetic spirit that was not of God. If you're being led under that, it's going to lead to things that are not of God. They may look good at first, but they're really poison fruit. It says the works of the flesh are manifest or seen, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Variance means that you don't keep a standard. You vary based on the winds of change or who's involved. Emulations means you try to be something that you're not. Wrath, which is uncontrolled anger. Strife, seditions, which is undermining authority. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is arguments, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as if I also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Many people have interpreted this verse and say, well, if you do any of these things, you're not going to heaven. No, what it's saying is that people that are not led of the Spirit are not going to heaven, and this is the kind of stuff that they do. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not to be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what Paul did to this young lady in Acts chapter 16, when he commanded that spirit to come out of her, and he came out of her, she was a new person. Just like Lydia was a new person. A woman who determined that she was going to open her home into God's people that were sharing the Word of God, that were preaching the Word of God. And she did what she could do under the leading of the Spirit. This woman that Paul cast the demon out of, she was possessed with a spirit of divination, and although on the surface what she said sounded great, Paul understood that there was deeper discernment. Likewise, as believers today, we need to be very discerning on who we have to lead us. There may be politicians out there that tell us exactly what we want to hear, but when you really look at them, you have to find out, are they somebody who is saying these things out of the love of God and love of their neighbor? Or are they saying these things out of a love for their political careers or love of their party or love of whatever else that they may have that is not of God? That is something that is very, very important that we consider. It's only when we do that and we know what the Word of God says, then we can be discerning to know whether or not the person to lead us is Jesus Christ or Adolf Hitler. Hitler may be dead, but there are a lot of other Hitlers out there who would do the exact same things while demonizing those who reject their message. And we're going to talk about in our next message in Acts chapter 16. If you're here today, you're not sure if heaven will be your home, we ask you this: have you trusted that Christ gave you the ability to have everlasting life with Him? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, or if Christ were to come today to take all the believers out of this world, those that have trusted Him as their Savior, that you would be with that group? Well, the Bible tells us this, that God loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that means that if you believe that Jesus was born as a baby, He grew up to be a man, He never ever committed one act of sin, and because He didn't sin, He didn't have to die, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, which means that when we sin, that is our wage for that. What we earn from that is eternity in separation from God in hell or the lake of fire. But that Jesus did live a perfect life, and because he didn't sin and He did live a perfect life, that He didn't have to die. He didn't sin, which meant that He didn't have to pay the payment for sin. He didn't have to pay the penalty for sin. Instead, He paid that payment and penalty for sin for us, so that we can have everlasting life. He did that for us, and he offers it to us as a gift. A gift is free. It's not something you earn. It's something that he gives us willingly and freely. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that he considered it a joy that was set before him to endure the cross, and he did that for us. If you trust that Christ has died on the cross for your sins, no work of your own, no earning of your own, but that you wholly trust that Christ did that for you, then you too shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can know that when you take your last breath on this earth, that you too will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. In the meantime, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, he has given you his Spirit that lives within you, that has sealed you to the day of redemption, that keeps your inheritance in heaven until the day that you are face to face with the Lord. And that Holy Spirit wants to lead you, but you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and the discernment and make sure it's the Holy Spirit that wants to lead you and not the spirit of the devil. If you have any questions about that, we pray that you would contact us in our ministry, SelahMountain.org, and we pray that if you have any questions, we can answer them so that you too can have the assurance of the leading of God's Holy Spirit. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.